This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis.
All right. This is episode number 71. My apologies for making this take so long to come out, both to Kyle and everybody listening that listens to the show. I sent Ethan the intros and he was busy and then couldn't get it out. And then he finally got time today to do the intros. And then we realized it was a 3-minute video of me eating like espresso beans or something. Like, so that's really good. So this is a real intro now, and yeah, you're getting it. This episode is sponsored by, before we even get into that, this episode is with Kyle O'Grady from Trail Tales. Trail Tales is a podcast that talks about hiking and hiking in New England and talks to a bunch of different people in the hiking world. This is not a world that I know very much about. It's not a world that I understand very much. And at the risk of sounding insulting, I do not understand hiking beyond walking. I am starting, like, it's walking uphill, like, a little faster than normal, no? With a bunch of shit and maybe some sticks. But that being said, Kyle kind of opened my eyes a little bit more to what hiking is, what hiking can be, some of the reasons he likes it, and I thought that part was really cool. Also, we talked about gear, and I was like, what gear do you need? You need fucking basically ski poles and shoes, which you wear normally, so I don't think that's gear, which is how I said it in the episode. Now I kind of understand the differences, and I get it, and yada, yada, yada. I guess it's the difference between, like, having, I don't know, anything where you have the wrong gear. I'm not making a whole lot of sense right now. Very tired in Colorado, and it's been a long couple of days. But Kyle opened my eyes a bit to all of this, and I think I'm changing my mind on hiking a bit. When I did a hike like a couple months ago or a month ago or whatever that was like a little longer, and I definitely beat the crap out of myself a little bit too much, but I was basically like running uphill. If you can call what I do running, it was brutal, and I actually really liked it. That being said, I am still like understanding it. I think I need to figure out where my opinions lie on it, but I think this is a good start, and Kyle's a super smart kid, dude, I guess he's like a little younger than me, maybe not even younger than me. I can't even remember right now. And I had a really good time talking to him. He came down to the studio. We chatted for a while. Talked about a bunch of podcast stuff. Talked about hiking, obviously, because I've said the word hiking 700 times. It's probably more in the last 2 minutes I've said hiking more than I have in my entire life. But yeah, this episode is sponsored by Sawatch Hemp. Sawatch is a CBD company, as if you're a listener, you know. Sawatch makes some of the best CBD products you can get. All their stuff is full spectrum. You can get anything from the tinctures to salves to also somebody needs to email me and say and tell me if it's salve or salve. That would be cool if someone could let me know, because like it's written salve, but I think it's salve. So let me know about that part. That'd be cool. Look at this, like doing that in the middle of an ad. I use that stuff all the time. Like, it helps me a ton with inflammation. It also helps you sleep. Like, I think I've been using the 1500 tincture a lot lately, and that has been extremely helpful to help me fall asleep at night. It's less than 0.03% THC, so you're never going to fail a drug test. It's not psychoactive in any way. It's a great product, and I really like working with these guys. And I really am excited to see them grow and see how this relationship grows going forward. You can find their products at www.sawatch.co. That was really hard to spell right now. I'm very tired. You can find their products at sawatch.co and use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS, all lowercase, to save 15% off of your purchase of some of the best CBD products that are out there. Last thing before we get into the episode, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes if you can. It helps the show a ton, helps other people find the show, and helps us keep growing. It's been great. The last year has been awesome. I've had a ton of fun with it, and I'm hoping this winter's really going to be like the next step, I guess, in this for us. I also would love to hear some of your thoughts, some of your questions. So obviously we do the Instagram thing, but if you're not on Instagram, are you a real person? I'm just kidding. If you're not on Instagram or Instagram's not your thing, shoot us an email. It's just adam@outofpodcast.com. I'd love to chat with all you guys. There is a contact us button on the website as well. If that's where you listen from, be sure to hit that, send us some messages, and yeah. So leave us a review if you can. I like, I'm losing my train of thought as I'm doing this. So like, that's like usually my cue to like wrap this thing up. Leave us a review if you can. Be sure to check out Kyle's show. It is on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, I believe also. Trail Tales Podcast. You can check him out on social media as well. It's just Trail Tales Pod. And Kyle O'Grady's Instagram handle is just Kyle Hates Hiking, which he doesn't hate hiking because he likes hiking. Might hate skiing, but that's beside the point. Without further ado, this is episode number 71 with Kyle O'Grady. So tell the people who you are, and we'll start there, I guess.
Sounds good. So my name is Kyle O'Grady. I am a little bit different than most of the Out of Bound guests because I am a hiker. I'm not really much of a skier or a biker. I do ski a little bit, but to be honest, I like probably couldn't even tell you what kind of skis I have. So
that's okay. Don't cater.
I'm not going to like pretend I'm a more legit skier, I guess. But no, I do a lot of hiking. And let's see, I've done the Vermont Long Trail a couple times, which is about 270 miles. Cool. Goes up the length of Vermont. And last year, I also thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail. So for those of you who might not be familiar, it's a trail that runs from northern Georgia, about 2,200 miles up to central Maine. So
that's fucking nuts.
There's a lot of walking.
Why hiking? I mean, that's so one of the things I was thinking about before we did this episode was like, hiking to me is walking, right? Like, so why do you like about hiking, I guess?
I don't know. I mean, and there's like different kinds of hiking too. There's like the through hiking thing, obviously. There's like just like, you know, going out for a day or whatever, like I did earlier today. And there's tons of things. I don't know. That's a tough question, honestly.
I get that it's kind of loaded too. Like, and it's already assuming that I do like hiking. So let me just like clear that up, I guess, a little bit first. Like, I like it a lot. I think it's awesome. But I also like, it seems like there's a huge range of people that get into hiking, you know, and there's like so much, it's all classified as the same sport, I guess, mm-hmm. you know, or the same activity. So what do you like about it? What's the difference between through hiking or sprint hiking or whatever else there is, you know?
So I would say like the two main kinds of hiking that I do anyways would be through hiking and something called peak bagging. So through hiking would be like, say you've got a trail like the Appalachian Trail. And yeah, you would just pretty much, you know, set out to hike that entire trail.
Okay.
In, you know, one shot. There's section hiking too. That would be, you know, just pretty much as it sounds, you know, you try to do it in sections over the course of different trips. And then there's also this thing called peak bagging, which is very popular here in the Northeast. You have the White Mountains and the Adirondacks as well. And that's when you'll get like a list of peaks, like usually 4,000 feet is like the cutoff for some artificial
reason. Be real, yeah.
And like you know, you'll just try to hike every mountain on the list, and then once you've finished, you're a member of the whatever club, 46er club, the White Mountain 48 club, whatever. So
what's a 46er club? So I'm gonna guess, and I'm probably wrong, that the majority of our listener base has no idea what any of these things are. However, I mean, New Hampshire is definitely a big spot where we get a lot of downloads and we have a lot of listenership. So I'm assuming they know more about this than I do, but what's a 40? I mean, you're wearing a 46 climb shirt. What the fuck does that even mean? Yeah, you know, like.
So, I guess I'll talk about the two most popular lists here that I kind of alluded to a second ago. So, in the Adirondacks in New York, there's this thing called the 46er list, I guess you could say, and it's basically just, again, you know, a list of peaks, and the cutoff was supposed to be 4,000 feet, and most of them are above 4,000 feet, but there was actually some errors in like the surveying because it's, I mean, pretty old, obviously.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And so a couple of them are below 4,000 feet. But yeah, I mean, the 46er list is just people who try to hike all 46 in the Adirondacks. And then over in New Hampshire in the White Mountains, it's pretty much the same thing, except, you know, there's 48. And I believe those are actually all above 4,000 feet. Although I did hear recently that Mount Tecumseh might not actually be 4,000 feet, which is right over by Waterville Valley.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've been over there at all, but yeah, yeah, man. And I finished the New Hampshire peaks in 2017.
Sick.
And I actually just finished the Adirondack Peaks last weekend. So
that's awesome. Well, good timing. Congrats. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, imagine coming on here and being like, "Well, I haven't really gotten there yet," but like, no, that's awesome. Good for you. Why are you doing it? I guess that's a bigger question
too.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
like,
kind of the first question you asked there, and I keep kind of skirting around it because it's tough. Yeah, it's tough to answer honestly.
Not like why do you like hiking? Because I think that's a different than why are you doing this peak thing? Because like, I'm guessing, because this is what it is for a lot of people, and a lot of people do it in skiing too, where it's like you just kind of want to check off a list. Is it a list for you? Like, and you're just like, I want to achieve this because it kind of puts something written into what I've done into it.
Honestly, it just adds like another layer to it, I guess. And what I mean by that is, you know, just even through hiking too, kind of bringing that back in, like having some sort of goal you're like hiking towards, I guess.
Okay.
Just makes it like a little bit more fun. And that being said, I still do just go like for hikes. Like,
yeah, right.
Fun.
Not
like,
everything is.
I literally did that today. You know, it's not all just about like, oh, I got to finish this list or finish this trail. But just having like that thing to kind of work towards that goal, I guess, just makes it like a little bit more fun. It also honestly makes it a little bit easier to justify like traveling to go someplace like, oh,
true.
You know, I don't, you know, why spend all the time and money to drive somewhere that's like a couple hours away just to go hiking when I could, you know, do it in pretty much my backyard. I live in Burlington, Vermont. So there's a lot of hiking over there.
Yeah.
But when I have to go like hike this peak because it's on this list that I'm trying to complete, it kind of just like pushes me over the edge, I guess, to get out there and kind of explore a little bit more outside of the area where I actually live. So there's that side to it, and I don't know. It's not really a competitive thing, obviously, but I feel like there's almost like a self competition like kind of thing because it's like a challenge to yourself, I guess. So
are you a competitive person?
Generally, no. Is he
a competitive person? Okay, all right, yeah.
I don't know. I would say no. I don't care what she says. Because again, it's like a self competition thing. You
yeah.
Know?
Okay.
Like I'm not.
You want to be better for yourself.
Yeah. And there is like competitive. I guess.
I think competitive is competitive, whether it's with yourself or not. Just to be clear, because I'm competitive with myself, with other people, and I don't think it's a bad thing either. So don't like. I'm not framing it that way in any way. I think it's awesome whether you are or you aren't. But why I'm asking is because I guess there's got to be some motivation to go do a thing that otherwise there's not like a. Like when you go and you do a race or something like that, right? Like there's a very clear 1, 2, 3, I guess. When you're going and hiking, there's not really, if you're not competitive with yourself, you can kind of just like take your time, cruise along, and it doesn't really matter if you make it to the top or not, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess you kind of need some internal drive, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think that kind of goes back to just like why, personally, I think it's more fun to chase like some sort of hiking goal or you know, some sort of list or trail or whatever. It just kind of gives you a reason to get out there and maybe go after it a little bit harder,
right?
And I don't know, it's fun. I got into it like like a number of years ago. I'm only 23 now, but I've been like the first time I ever completed like any sort of hiking accomplishment would be back when I was in high school. Still, I section hiked the Long Trail in Vermont, and that just kind of like gave me a taste of it. And from there, I kind of went on to start learning about like even longer trails and learning about the AT mostly and learning about all these, you know, 4,000 footers in the Northeast. And I kind of just like dove into the deep end and got pretty damn obsessed with it.
Yeah, that kind of tends to happen, I think, with a lot of people where like you start getting into something and all of a sudden it's like
especially
an everyday
with the outdoors
thing. Exactly, with skiing, with bikes, with hiking, I think they're all in the same category, you know. It's outdoor sports, outdoor recreation. Do you consider hiking as a sport?
So that's a good question, honestly. I was actually thinking about this before.
I've asked people
here
about skiing, you know, like I've asked people like, do they think skiing's a sport? And I'm kind of conflicted.
I'm sure there's some people that would be yelling into their phones right now listening to that kind of conversation. But I don't know. Personally, I don't really consider it a sport.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there's like the whole fastest known time, like ultra running thing, which I do not do.
I think that's a different thing.
I would say
that's
a sport though. And that kind of ties back into the same world because, you know, people will try to break the speed record for a lot of these trails or a lot of these peaks that, you know, I'm talking about here. But, you know, that's not really what I do, at least not yet, maybe someday. But
it's a different, is that something you'd like to? I mean, because like you think about somebody like Killian is like, I mean, he's kind of like the standard, I think, with the ultra running, ultra marathoning thing, and like, or for trail running at least. And like, it's insane. Like, that dude's an athlete. Like, that is a sport. Whatever he does is a sport, you know? So is that a thing you think about getting into? Like, getting a little more, not serious about it, but more
like competing with others.
I would see. I would take even like a step further back than that. I've done a little bit of trail running, but nothing like, you know, like more than like a couple miles, honestly.
Okay.
So before I would even think about competing in anything, I would probably just want to go out and like try to do like a 20 mile like run just by myself or something. I mean, yeah. I've done plenty of like 20 mile hiking days, but not, you know, yeah. at a faster pace like that. So
yeah.
I don't know. I would like to eventually. And honestly, I was kind of thinking about getting into it a little bit this summer, but I think I'm still kind of recovering a little bit from my thru hike last year, because I've got a little bit of a foot problem that like slows me down enough that I can't really run, but it's not bad enough that like I could still make it out and hike. So
yeah,
I don't know. I would like to get into it eventually, though. I don't think I'll be breaking any FKTs anytime soon.
Yeah, maybe not. But I mean, then those people are fucking psychos. So I don't. Dude, I really crazy. Wouldn't like. Yeah, I've watched some. Like this summer, I started running a little more than I normally do, which was zero. So like zero. I mean, anything is more than zero, I guess. So I started running a lot more, and I started watching some of these videos and watching some of these guys, and then running with people that are like actually fast. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, man, this is a totally different thing. Like it's a totally different activity.
Yeah, dude, it's hard, especially when you're like trying to go up freaking mountains and like,
you're running over like crazy. Yeah. Like it's not okay. Where'd you guys hike today?
We did this little hike over near Bennington, Vermont. So
okay, sure.
We made a little weekend trip out of it, came down from Burlington, and we're staying at Woodford? I keep saying Woodbury. No, Woodford State Park over, it's near Bennington.
Are you guys camping?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And we just did a little like 4 mile or 8 mile actually, 4 mile one way. A little 8 mile out and back on the long trail, Appalachian Trail. So we just hiked up this little hill called Harmon Hill, and then went back to, there's a campsite like a couple miles down from that we kind of checked out, and I kind of got to be a little bit nostalgic of when I was going through there last year on my thru hike, so that was kind of cool, and it was fun. Nothing super aggressive, but I mean, the weather was beautiful, so
it's a great day for it.
It was good to get out, for sure.
It's a good one for it, for sure. What made you get into it? Like why hiking? Did you play other sports that were like?
Yeah, I actually played a lot of hockey growing up. I was huge like a hockey player, and I played a little bit of baseball too. I think I just kind of stumbled into it by accident, to be honest. I was I was in high school, and like grew up like very close to the Long Trail, very close to Mount Mansfield, you know, in northern Vermont, Chittenden County, Vermont, and so like I kind of knew like there was a lot of trails around, obviously. But one day some friends and I like just went just, you know, for something to do. And I don't really know what it was, but like I just got hooked then. And when I got home, like I immediately started watching YouTube videos. And that's when I kind of learned that, you know, not only are there just mountains you can hike up, but there's actually like long distance trails, and people will literally go for like weeks and months and just fucking like hike, and you know,
that's crazy.
And I don't know what I don't even know, honestly. Like it's tough to say, but something just clicked in like my angsty like 16-year-old brain. I was like, okay, this sounds like something I need to pursue for some reason. And like I said earlier, like it just kind of spiraled out of control after that. And next thing I know, I was like plotting to do the Appalachian Trail, and I was like, oh, I'll wait until I'm done college. And somehow my 16-year-old self had the foresight to know that that was going to be like the best time to do it. And I kind of stuck with it for the next like 6 years after that. And
that's awesome.
I was lucky enough to stick with it and complete the whole trail. So I don't know. It's
those are very different things. You know that, right? Like hockey and hiking are very different sports. Like
they're
you're
both
aware.
Very popular in Vermont. So
I guess so. So what's it like? So this is actually something that I wanted to talk about. What's it like growing up in Vermont? Like for people that don't know, because I think the stereotype is like everybody that lives in Vermont is just like living in the fucking woods, like just like off in the middle of nowhere.
Which, to be fair, is a lot of the state.
It's half of the state for sure. Yeah. And they're like the old grungy people that just kind of hang out there. And I know a bunch of those people and I love those people, but I imagine that's not everybody. So what is it like growing up in Vermont?
No. And I don't know if there's anybody listening that's not from Chittenden County, they're probably like, oh, this guy doesn't know what it's like to actually live in Vermont. Right. But, you know, I mean, I grew up in a small town called Jericho, and it's actually the perfect location because it's about 20, 25 minutes outside of Burlington, which is, you know, the quote city Vermont.
And the four streets or whatever that make up that city.
Pretty much, you know. And then about 20, 25 minutes from the mountains as well. So it was like a perfect in-between spot. And honestly, dude, like it was like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like it was fucking sick. Like,
really?
Like it was such an awesome place. And I don't even know. Like, I honestly feel kind of stupid saying this on your podcast, but I didn't get into skiing until I was like about
to graduate.
That's okay.
This is not just a skiing podcast. We've had like my buddy's a rapper, doesn't do any of these things, and he's been on here before. Like
that is
we've
sick.
Had the mayor on here before, and he's like doesn't. He's not cool. either. I mean, he says he's a cyclist, but that dude's not a cyclist. So trust me, like, and he knows this, and I tell him this. I tell him this every day. I see him like I don't know a couple times a week. Like, but the point is, you don't have to worry about that part of it. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Growing up in Vermont was sick. It's tough because unless you pretty much, I guess when I was growing up, unless you like worked at IBM, which was like the mm-hmm. biggest employer at the time, or the UVM Medical Center, which is the biggest employer at the current time, you know, it's kind of tough to like live in that area because it's pretty expensive, and I'm sure it's kind of the same around here too. But you know, there's just not that much for employment. However, if you're lucky enough to you know have a job like that, it's definitely a very, very awesome place to live and to grow up. Like, I mean, I couldn't have asked for like a better place to grow up, honestly, yeah. as someone who was a hockey player, as someone who liked to be outside and, yeah. and do all that stuff, as someone who eventually got into skiing, you know,
yeah,
it's a great place for sure.
Yeah. It's pretty insane. I think Vermont is one of those places that like the East Coast in general kind of gets shit on because it's not the West Coast a yeah. lot, but it's awesome. Vermont is like, I mean, it's beautiful a lot of the time. A lot of the time it sucks and the weather sucks
it
and it's not great
in
the I mean for skiing, but like it's a great place to grow up, man, especially being that close to Burlington. Like Burlington, for those that haven't been, which is the majority of the people I think that listen to the show probably, yeah. Is awesome. I mean, it's just a beautiful little place.
Did I see on your Instagram story you were just up that way? Like,
yeah, I don't even remember where I go anymore.
Seems
to be
like
honest,
you're on the
road like
quite
I just fucking drive places. Yeah, actually, I was there last week. I was actually picking up helmets from a sales rep up there. I was just grabbing some lids to show around, and then so I went. Last week, I basically went up. I went to Mount Snow, dropped off some shit there, went to Stratton, hung out with a buddy, then went to Magic to pick up some other shit, and then drove from there to Shelburne, and then from Shelburne went to Burlington, and then from Burlington I went to wherever the fuck Fisher Ski's in, Auburn, New Hampshire, like from there,
like
and then
the
home.
Entire state pretty
like,
much.
Yeah, like I just went from like here to the, I mean, it was like I was in the car literally. I left at 4:30 in the morning. I got home at 10 p.m.
Oh,
and
damn.
It was just like I hate days like that. I mean, they're cool because you're like, you get to talk about it like this.
Yeah.
And you get to be like, oh, I went all these places. But like, you don't see anything. You're just in the fucking car the whole time, and all you
yeah.
see is license plates, and you're just like, if I have to do this another second, I'm going to jump off a fucking bridge.
At
like,
least you were driving in Vermont, though, which is a pretty fun place to drive during the summer.
It is,
at least
and
it wasn't
it's
all
quiet,
just like highway, highway, highway.
You know what's funny, though? When they have construction in Vermont, this is one of the things I think that people don't know. There's just like one fucking guy holding a sign, and the line can wait for like 7 hours. Like, nobody gives a shit if you're waiting for traffic or not. Like, they're just like, whatever, dude, we have to stand here, so you got to wait in traffic too for no reason. Like there's no system or so, like I was just like waiting in construction lines, like in something that would have taken 5 seconds in town here, you
it
know?
Moves slow up there too.
Life moves slow. Nobody's in a fucking rush, and I'm just like, I gotta go somewhere. Like I want to
tour the
out
entire
of this,
state
yeah
today,
I gotta get out of this fucking
out of
car yeah please let me get out of this car. So that's how it goes sometimes, but I mean that's one of the gifts, I guess, of Vermont, if you can call it that.
It's just kind of the way it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Part of the charm.
Have you ever thought about leaving Vermont?
Yes, I am.
Are you actively leaving Vermont?
I'm actively thinking about it. But I don't know, it's tough. Like, I've been here my whole life except for, you know, the school year for 4 years when I was in college. And it, I don't know, I love it. And honestly, if I do leave, I could see myself coming back someday. Maybe when I'm older.
Yeah.
Maybe just for the summers or something like that.
So you can
like
be
that.
A grungy old man in Vermont, yeah.
Pretty much. But I don't know. It's like it's perfect for someone like me. Okay, so Burlington is like the perfect location to be able to access like many different places to like
yeah.
hike, especially for someone who's trying to do all these 4,000 footers like I was talking about. Because to the Adirondacks, it's like an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on where you're going. To the White Mountains, it's like about two and a half hours, depending
is
on where
really?
You're going. So it's like the perfect central location. You're
That's
real
awesome.
Close. To the Long Trail. I mean, you're less than an hour from a couple spots on the Long Trail. And, you know, you go down south to like Rutland area. That's only what, probably like an hour and a half, maybe. and it's like you're right there on the Appalachian Trail. So like for that reason, it's kind of hard for me to leave because it's like that's like a huge part of my life. And, you know, it's also great to be able to work, you know, a full 8-hour day and then like go do a hike during the evening and just like watch the sunset on top of a mountain and then be able to get up and go to work the next day. And that's something I'm like, as I'm like getting closer to the end of my lease and like thinking about like what I want to do, like that's something that is hard to walk away from.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also kind of want to go someplace that I haven't been and I could always come back, obviously. So I don't know. It's tough.
What do you do for work?
I'm a software developer.
Nice. That seems super exciting. That seems like very contrasting to
someone who
going hiking all the time and wanting to be
spending
outside.
40 hours a week in a cubicle and then, it is, but I mean, I don't know. It. I'm a technical person. I mean, that kind of ties back into my podcast too. Like that's another reason why I wanted to start it, which I don't think we mentioned it yet.
We haven't yet.
I have a podcast, everybody. So it's called Trail Tales. I just interview other hikers like myself, other people that have thru-hiked, you know, these crazy long trails like the Appalachian Trail and the PCT and the CDT and all this stuff. And then also talk to people that do some of the shorter, like less known trails. And we just kind of have a good time. But anyways, shameless plug over.
Hey, that's you got to do it. I mean, that's literally what you're here for. So is to get people to listen to this thing.
And to talk about hiking. But
how do you? Well, so I mean, this is actually the important part of it. And this is kind of what I was going to segue to. And anyway, why did you start a podcast? I mean, what's the point?
So this is like also very hard for me to answer because like there's a couple reasons. And whenever I like answer this question, I always get them like mixed up and stuff, but or forget them. I guess kind of like I mentioned to you before we started talking, I've always been interested in content, like whether it be YouTube, podcasts, you know, any of that stuff. And I always wanted to like do something. When I was in like middle school, I had a very, very like embarrassing YouTube channel, which I'm not going to mention for fear of anybody trying to find it.
And you don't think someone's going to try to go find it now?
They're not going to find it.
All right.
Because I'm going to go delete all this. No, just kidding. But I don't know. That I kind of like got into it from that. And and ever since then, like it's always been kind of in the back of my mind. And I just never really had time though. And then while I was actually on the Appalachian Trail last year, I was thinking about it and I was like, okay, I could like start a YouTube channel, I could do like a podcast, and I kind of settled on a podcast. I think mostly just because I was like just walking like all day for months and I just was listening to a shit ton of podcasts.
And you're like, watching. This is fucking easy.
Like, I was like, I could just like bullshit for an hour. Like,
it's
how hard
literally all it is. I keep telling people that. Like, it's like, if you want to do it. All you got to do is just talk for however long.
And then, I don't know. And so that's kind of like when I actually started to seriously think about it. And honestly, I kind of resisted the idea of doing it about hiking for a long time, for like half the trail, because I got the idea pretty early on, and I was like, I don't know, there's like a lot, there's not a lot of other hiking podcasts, but there are some, and you know, they're all pretty damn good, so I thought it'd be a little bit tough to compete with that. But at the end of the day, I was like, I know hiking better than anything else. Like, I'll have just finished this crazy like fucking 4.5 month journey. So I was like, I should just like use that as an outlet to kind of share some of my stories and share some of my experiences. And so that's kind of the first reason. And then the second reason, honestly, and this is big, it's just a great way to stay connected with the people, first of all, that I met on the trail and just other people that exist in this like trail community. So I don't know. A lot of people might not know this, but like there's like an entire like mini economy. Like there's this whole freaking community centered around not just the Appalachian Trail, but like all these thru hiking trails like the PCT and a lot of the shorter ones as well.
Yeah.
And so I thought it would be kind of difficult to be like immersed in this like so heavily every single day for, you know, 4.5 months and then to just bam, just be kind of back into normal life. And so I thought I would be able to kind of meet a lot of new hikers and not just hikers. I mean, again, I wouldn't be here meeting,
that's true,
you know, talking to you right now if it wasn't for it. So
it's true.
I don't know. Staying connected with the trail community was another big, like big reason. And I can say that's definitely paid off. I mean, I've had like the chance to talk to like a lot of like YouTubers and like other creators, and just people that have done hikes that I'm like interested in and want to learn about.
Yeah.
You know, that's all happened because of my podcast. So I don't know. It's been super sweet. Definitely a lot of work though.
It's definitely a lot of work.
As I'm sure you know.
Yeah, especially one of the things I always kind of toy with that you do that I don't do is, well, I've done two, but doing them remotely. And that's one of the things that I'm like, ah, oh, fuck, if you could do it and it sounds good, then it's worth it, you know, because you don't have to go to these places. Because, like, I mean, I'm on a plane once a month now because this fucking podcast, really?
That's so sick though. That's like something you've created.
I don't know, dude. Especially like that, dude. At first, it was like my wallet was fucked up.
Guess,
like, there
you're
is no
money, but
you're losing money, like bleeding money through the nose. So, do you like doing it remotely? If you could, would you rather do it in person? But I will say, like, I listened to your show. The podcast quality is good.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's an issue for that. The only reason I like them in person more than for you, I guess, because your quality is good. There's both reasons, right? There's the quality thing, and then there's also like the flow of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like you can hold the conversation pretty well. So I don't think that that's going to be an issue for you either. But is that a thing that you'd like to do in the future?
I would, to be honest. And I don't know, like, I thought about it, but
yeah.
Trail Tales wouldn't exist, like, if I only did them in person, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, there's just not enough people, like, around me. And even if there is, like...
Even in New England, it's really hard.
Yeah.
That's why I'm on a fucking plane.
Honestly, I don't know if I could afford, both time-wise and financially, to actually be traveling to do interviews.
Yeah.
That being said, this is actually my very first, like, in-person podcast.
Yeah.
That's why you probably saw my eyes light up when I, like, walked in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, and you're like, this is the studio. Like, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I would like to do them in person, and hopefully eventually I will, like, do some at least. But
yeah.
It is nice to be able to just, like, get home from work and, like, cook dinner or, like, even roll out of bed sometimes and just,
yeah,
like,
and
get
just
on
talk
my computer
to someone
and just, like, bam, be able to start it. So, I don't know. I feel like maybe having, like, a balance of both would be, like, ideal. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it depends on the guests you have, too. You know, like, some people are really well-equipped. Like, they have a spot in their house. Like, especially, like, we've had some people on, or I've seen some other people, too, that we've had on in person that have full podcast setups for recordings in their house. And I'm just like, fuck, we could have done it that way. Like, I didn't have to go to fucking Bend to go do this, you know, like, I could have just sat at home, you know, but I don't know. I'm a little conflicted, I guess, but how's it going? How do you like doing the podcast? How has it been? I know the meeting people thing, like, that's awesome. Like, that's my favorite part of it too. Mm-hmm. Like, people always ask me, like, are you making money? Are you doing sponsored? And I'm just like, the main fucking thing is that we're, like, I get to meet all these awesome people, like, you know, but how is it going overall? Like,
it's so much fun, honestly.
Yeah.
And I kind of complained about, you know, how it is a lot of work, but again, like, actually another, so this kind of ties back into why I started it in the first place too. Another, like, huge reason why I started it is because I knew it was going to be really hard to go from, like, putting everything I have every single day, like, physically, mentally, financially, into, like, this one goal of completing the Appalachian Trail.
Yeah.
And then just all of a sudden, it's over.
Yeah.
You've reached your goal, and now you have nothing. I mean, I guess some people are very driven by, the, like, their careers or other things, but I didn't really feel that passion, I guess, when it comes to sitting in a cubicle.
Yeah.
So I just had to start something. You know, I had to have, like, some other sort of goal to work towards, and it's been, like, so much fun. It's been, like, a slow rise, I guess. You know, I didn't expect many people to listen to it at the beginning, and that was certainly the case, obviously. And, you know, I'm definitely no Joe Rogan at this point either, but I've managed to increase the downloads every single month. And
that's awesome.
You know, I don't know if we need to get into specific numbers now, but I'm pretty pleased with where it is so far, and especially kind of,
awesome.
I mentioned this a few minutes ago, but there are quite a number of, like, good hiking podcasts out there. So it's not, like, super, super saturated yet. It seems like more are popping up every single day, but you know, it certainly is a little bit competitive, and I wasn't sure how that would kind of factor in either.
Yeah.
And I've been pretty pleased with the small, very modest amount of success I've found so far. And, you know, I've got some other, like, ideas and plans to kind of, like, keep, you know, getting exposure. You know, that's obviously a big reason
part
why
of, yeah, part
I'm
of
here.
This, yeah.
Plus, I mean, it's just fucking
yeah,
fun.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's been awesome. It is a lot of work. I think I like every single aspect of it except for the editing.
Yeah.
That gets a little bit old.
I don't do that shit, so.
You don't edit?
No, I got a dude that does it for
that's
me.
Smart. That's smart.
My buddy Ethan, I trade him skis and I take him on trips with me, and
dude,
that's it.
Sick.
He's like, he has a media company. Like, I mean, the dude's a fucking
whiz,
you know? So it takes him 5 minutes, like, and he's like, I don't need your money for this. Like, I do this professionally. but I also don't want to pay for skiing. So it's like, and I have the opposite problem where like I don't pay for skiing, and that's really my only form of currency most times. Is like, I got plenty of skis, man. Like I got unlimited access basically, but that's usually the extent of it. So yeah, I don't do that part at all. Like
Which is smart.
But I'm not good at it. It takes me an hour and a half to edit an episode. It takes him literally like 8 minutes. So
that's crazy. Yeah, dude, it takes me like psycho. Usually like two evenings, like during the week, usually Mondays and Tuesdays.
It's real work if you're doing that. That's one of the things editing, like I've had a couple other people that have their own podcast on, and they're just like, you're a lucky piece of shit. Like, that's exactly what you are. And I'm just like, I know, but like, it's like, I know what I'm good at, and I know what I'm not good at. You know, I know I'm not going to be able to sit there and edit it.
Did you have him editing right from the start?
Oh, yeah, right from the get. Nice. 100%. Yeah, because I was working with him through the shop, actually, and we were like, so I run a ski shop, and that's what we were working with him for some media stuff. And then I was like talking to him. I was like, okay, this was a couple years ago. And I was like, what do you think about doing a podcast about ski stuff and bike stuff and outdoors and all this shit? And he was like, yeah, it's probably super easy. I've never done it before. It's probably super easy. So he's just like, cause he's editing video all day, you know, he's editing video and audio together. So just the audio part can't be that hard.
half the work.
He's like, it'll be cake. Yeah. In theory. Right. But so yeah, we went great. I've been lucky enough to have this dude help.
That is like super lucky. So you basically have all the good parts of having a podcast and not like the one kind
of bad
part.
I don't have a ton of time, you know? Like I go on these trips all the time. I don't have a ton of free time. This is just, I'm using my free time. Like if I decide to take a vacation, I'm going on a vacation. I'm going to get 3 episodes out of it. If I'm going somewhere, like if I go to Outdoor Retailer in Denver, I'm getting 20 episodes out of it, you know? Damn. So it's like, it's a lot, but like I'm making sure that I'm using my time.
Yeah.
As well as I possibly can, because I don't have a lot of money for this shit either, you know? So it's like, I work at a ski shop, you know? That's not like a fucking gold standard job, you know? So, and I definitely don't have a trust fund. So that was the thing that I was like, okay, like I know that I'm not afraid to work, and I know that I have somebody that can do the part I'm not good at. And like, I've tried to pay him. He doesn't want the money. He's like, I just straight up, I don't need the money. Like,
it's a sweet deal, man.
He's a good dude. He's a great dude. And honestly, he's a great editor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he's a great content developer.
Sure.
I mean, he's the dude's awesome for that. So, find one of those guys and that'll make your life way easier.
If anybody listening is interested.
Yeah. I mean, but honestly, like in all seriousness, I got a ton of offers to do that. Like somebody to do that for me as an internship, like as a college level internship, like to practice editing podcasts and to put something on their, on their resume. So they are out there. I mean, it sounds like a joke because like who would want to work for free, but it's like, it's not that hard if you know what you're doing. Like, and you're really good at it. You have the setup.
As long as
it's
you have like any sort
quick.
Of technical experience, like,
real technical like experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really not too bad. And I just use Audacity too, so it's like free software.
Yeah,
pretty basic. You know, I mean, it's not like video where you're doing like color correction and like you know, stabilization and all this stuff. You're just like editing out some background noise and cutting out the parts where my voice cracks. So
one of the things like is that we don't take out anything. So like this will run raw from beginning to end.
That helps.
I'm not taking out the pause. I mean, because I don't pause a whole lot when I talk anyway. Now, I mean, in the beginning I definitely did. There's like an every 3 seconds, but like now I don't pause a ton when I talk. I talk the same way I would talk normally. So there's not really a need to cut out a bunch of stuff, you know, because the conversation goes normally. And as long as the person on the other side of the mic isn't like, doesn't say a bunch of shit they regret, we don't go back and cut anything. It's only happened twice that we had to go back and edit anything in the middle. So
interesting. Yeah. I don't really cut like actual content.
Yeah. Right.
I do cut out some of like the, just like the random like shit in the background, like the pops and clicks and I also do tend to stumble over my words a decent amount. And so if that happens, I'll usually like, you know, stop my sentence and start over. And then I have had some guests who will take like very long pauses. Honestly, I think that might go back to
probably
the like remote thing too.
100%.
A little bit
I noticed
different.
That in our second and third episodes.
Yeah,
like that's what it was. And I was like,
and that doesn't happen like super, super often. So if it's like a really long pause, I'll like cut stuff like that out too.
Yeah.
But I mean, for the most part, it's like mostly unedited. I am kind of a perfectionist though. So like, I make sure that everything is exactly how I want it to sound. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That probably adds like at least a half an hour to my
it's
work.
Gotta.
Just from like, you know.
Just making sure it's all perfect, making sure it's going to go out the way you want it. And like sometimes, I mean, honestly, like I'm this for me is a very part-time job. Like, it is a part-time job now, and I'm lucky to call it a part-time job, but it's a part-time job. At the end of the day, like, I'm not going to do like, it's just not worth it. Like, I'm going to put out the content that we developed for this purpose, and that's really all we're going to do, you know? Like, this is what I felt like was our best foot forward on that day. Otherwise, we just won't release it, you know? Like, if it's really that bad.
Have you, like, how often have you had to, like, skip weeks?
So I'm very erratic. So, like, I'll, like, sometimes if I miss a week, I'll put out, like, four the next week, you know? Okay, like, and okay. we've made up for, I think we're almost 70. This will be, like, episode 73 or something
nice,
like
dude,
that.
Nice.
But we've been doing it. So this is coming up on year, this will be the start of year two pretty soon, I guess. So it's been... I guess it's almost been 2 years. I don't even know at this point. Like, it just feels like it's all rolling over into one. Dude. But yeah, no, I don't know. It's all how it is.
How about this? So it sounds like you do kind of record like batch episodes. So like you'll go on a trip, you'll record like 3-4 whatever amount of episodes. See, that's smart. I should do that.
Yeah.
But I pretty much do my episode recordings like week to week.
Yeah.
And that's so hard. Far it's almost always worked out. Like I said, I think maybe like 2 or 3 times I've missed. But it always feels like I'm that close to missing the week, you know, just because like
all it takes is
a guest to, you know, have something come up or be kind of sick like I am right now and decide their voice isn't going to hold up and not want to do it. And that has happened. It's happened like once or twice. Yeah. And
yeah.
I don't know. That's never great. I really should do them in batches. But at the same time, I have a hard time like forcing myself to just dedicate like an entire weekend to.
Yeah,
doing nothing but podcast stuff. So
yeah, for sure. That part's hard for sure. But one of the things I think I like about this is that I can kind of decide when they go out and what order. So if like I do an episode with somebody and they mention someone that somebody mentions in a previous episode, I will bring their episode and put it ahead of that. So I'll like kind of reorder them in a way that makes sense. So people can kind of get some kind of storyline as they're listening to the show. It doesn't really always line up like that, but that part tends to work really good. And the other thing is, like, I was doing them in batches before because I was only doing, you know, one trip every, you know, month and a half, 2 months. So I needed to. I didn't have a choice. Now, you know, we're doing episodes all, like, this is my fourth one this week. So, like, pretty soon this season, we'll be able to do, like, 2-3 a week and run them on schedule. Like as soon as they come out, because there'll be enough content. And that's like why you see some of the bigger podcasts that do shows, we'll put them out like that day when they record them. Mm-hmm. And that's where we would like to be ideally. I mean, hopefully that'll happen this season. But sometimes we do one, like we just did an episode with the Fisher Skis marketing manager, and he's like, was talking about stuff that can't be released until the end of the month, you know? So it's like, sometimes you got to do that too. I'm pretty flexible with it. Honestly, like I don't have a boss. So it's for this particular thing. So it's going to come out when I think it should come out, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But I would like to get to the point where it's just out there, you know?
I think that's kind of interesting that you don't have like as consistent of like a release schedule.
Because
that was like when I was like first, you know, researching.
It's one of the rules that they say.
Like you got to be consistent. And
I don't know. We're getting pretty okay downloads, so I'm not upset about it. So one of the things that I thought was like, okay, like I've got to make this as authentic as possible in order for it to do well. I'm not a very like organized and timely person in general. Like I'm early to things like as far as events go, but in terms of like deadlines and that kind of shit, I'm just not. So like I'm not going to do and say Monday I have to put this out, cuz I'm not going to enjoy doing it as much. I would like to put it out when I feel like putting it out. Like we haven't put one out this week, but I've got 20 episodes stacked, so we could put it in whenever.
That's
it's
so
just
crazy.
That we don't I just didn't feel like putting one out this week. It was busy week, whatever. Like Ethan didn't have time to do one. It's like, it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter to me.
We definitely differ on that then, cuz
for
I'm
sure.
Like, I mean, Sam knows I'm very like freaking Monday, Tuesday, got to get the editing done and it's got to be out. It's got to be out by like Wednesday morning. And I feel like if I didn't set that like I don't know, deadline or whatever you want to call it, I feel like it probably just wouldn't happen as much.
But that's you knowing yourself, you know, like
exactly,
that's what's important, is that you kind of figure out what works for you. And I think that's where like all these online podcasts, how to start a podcast, it's like the main thing is that it has to be really authentic to how you are. So if you are that kind of person and you require a deadline and deadlines work for you, great. Deadlines don't work for me. Like I've always worked in either in a family business or in something where I was in charge. So like for me to be like, I'm not the one with the deadline. I'm just like, get the fuck out of my face. Like, there's no way that a microphone in front of me is going to tell me that I have a deadline tomorrow. Like, there's just no chance.
Damn.
But there's also, like, I get it. If that's what makes you put out an episode, then whatever gets it done, I think, is the most important way to do it.
Yeah, man.
Because I don't, like, I think if that made me do it, I would do it that way too. So I think it goes whatever way you want.
Yeah, it definitely helps, like, just as far as like budgeting my time goes too.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, I do have like a pretty set work schedule.
Yeah.
And so just kind of like building that dedicated podcast time into the schedule, like, definitely makes it easier for me. However, it is hard to find time to do things related to the podcast beyond just the editing, because right now I'm like balls deep in the middle of building a website for the show.
Sick.
And like, I'm a software developer, I do everything myself. So like, yeah. I'm really just trying to keep costs down and do as much as I can. So it's been very dragged out just because I like have such a like regimented schedule, I guess. I almost wonder if like my release schedule was a little bit more like lax, if I could like find more time to do other things related to the podcast and like edit photos and do stuff for the Instagram and all that stuff. But
I would just stack some episodes, man. That'll save you a lot. That'll you on weeks when it's bad. I mean, tons of people do it. Like, it's not always the best way to do it, 'cause it's not that day. You can't promote it. Like, that day is hard, but it's also like, that's content that you value a little more. You can send people like all the information on the show, where they can post it, how they can find all the links and stuff, a picture that I'm going to use for the episode cover. They get all that like right ready to go when the episode's ready to come out.
Yeah.
So that's part of it, but I don't know. Have you worked with sponsors yet?
No.
So that's part of it too. I mean, they may like that you put it out every week at the same time. That's one of the things. I'm super lucky with the sponsors that I have, because they're in the ski and bike industry, and a couple are like outside of the ski and bike industry, but the ski and bike industry and outdoor industry in general is very lax with that stuff. So they don't need strict deadlines, I think, for a lot of these things. They're just like, you're doing a show, awesome. What's the listenership, numbers, blah, 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 blah.
And I think that's kind of what would matter more at the end of the day. I mean, obviously, like, you're dedicated to it. It's not like, it's just a show where you're just kind of doing it, you know, every now and then for fun. And not that there's anything wrong with the podcasts that are like that, but you know, you're showing them that you are serious, even if you're not.
Yeah, you're treating it. You got to treat it like it's a job. You know? I mean, you got to treat it like it's something important to you. Otherwise, why should anybody else? You know,
mm-hmm.
Why? So, have you reached out to anybody yet?
No, honestly, dude, I actually just had So let's see. I don't know when this is gonna come out, so I'm not even gonna put a date on it. But
2 weeks, probably.
My guest, who's gonna be on the show this upcoming week, is also a podcaster. He runs this podcast called the Byland Podcast, which is another hiker podcast, very similar to mine. And we were talking a little bit about this afterwards. And honestly, dude, like again, we can talk numbers maybe after. I feel like I'm not quite there yet, and I'm still, I think I'll be on number 43, maybe. I can't even remember the freaking number, but you know, I'm pretty far into it, but I still feel like I have like more, I have room to improve, I guess. And I'm still trying to push those numbers up, and eventually I would like to work with sponsors. Like, for sure. I put a lot of time and work into the podcast. Yeah. Just don't think I'm quite there yet. And I'm not like super eager to kind of like make that jump until like I feel like I'm really ready, you know.
I respect that. I think you're ready, and the only reason I say that is because I wasn't ready when I had any sponsors. You know, like when I got the first sponsor, we were not ready, we were not focused. I sounded like an idiot probably half the time, but
it's not too bad, because I sounded like an idiot the entire time. I probably still do, honestly.
I probably do too. I don't know. There's probably someone listening to this is like, Adam, you're an idiot every single day. It's why we listen to this. Like, but the point is like, that kind of gives you a kick in the ass a little bit to be like, I need to take this serious. Like, somebody is investing their time and their money into me, and they see where I'm trying to go with this. And it's not hard, I don't think, to get sponsors to start, because somebody's going to send you t-shirts at first, you know? And then they're going to start being like, okay, we'll send you 20 t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're going to make stuff for you, and then they're going to pay you. And I think that's, you got to start at square one, where they're sending you a t-shirt and you're calling them a sponsor seriously, and then you can have a real sponsor where they're giving you real money, because they're either going to see the value in giving you that t-shirt or they're not.
Yeah.
And a t-shirt's just a metaphor, nobody's giving me fucking t- like, but I mean, that's they were at some point, you know, they were giving me like Bomber Strap was our first sponsor, you know, like they make like a tailgate. This is not an ad, but they are actually a current sponsor right now, but they make like a tailgate pad for your bike. So you can stick your bike on the back of a truck. It's really cool. It's a great idea. At first he was just like, I'm just going to send you one. You talk about it on the podcast once, you know, and we'll see what happens with it. Talked about it. Went great. You know, we moved to the next step, and that's kind of how it goes. So, but I hear people say this a lot where they're like, I don't know if I'm ready for it. I don't know if this, I don't know if that, but you kind of got to just like, if you're going to do it, you got to feel like you're good enough at it where it doesn't matter. Cause they're going to listen to episode 1 and they're going to listen to episode 42 if they really want to. It's all out there. That shit's not going away.
Yeah, man. And so. I don't know. It's tough too, because like, honestly, hikers are very picky about their gear, and there are like quite a few of these, we call them cottage companies, you know, like small gear companies that make like very like specific like kind of gears, like, or kinds of gear, like ultralight backpacks is a huge one, you know, just like shit like that that only like super like hiking nerds like myself would know about. And so I definitely feel like there's companies out there that would, you know, work for that. But I don't know, I'm honestly a little bit like nervous about it too, because like I also don't want to make that jump and then like kind of do it too early and have them be like, get the fuck out of here. Like your numbers aren't good enough yet. And then,
but even if they do, what's the worst that happens? You reach out to somebody else. Like it's not, that's the thing, is like, you can't be afraid for somebody to just be like, I've had people say, fuck off. Like so many, I've had people that I know on a professional level, not realize it was me emailing them. Right. And not respond or turn me down. And then the next time I went to write an order for those people, I was like, hey dude, what the fuck? Like, you know, but, and I mean, obviously like, It is who you know to a certain extent, but it's also like you just gotta kind of shoot your shot.
I mean, yeah, and the other thing is too, I don't know if my numbers are good enough to like even like make it worth it yet. You know,
they're not gonna ask you your numbers. I mean, that's, you know, like that's like kind of a secret, but they're not gonna ask you your numbers. They're not gonna ask you to see real numbers right away. That's the thing that I'm like trying to kind of say.
Okay,
it's, they maybe will, but you can just say, I don't want to share that right now. And you may lose that sponsor.
Well, then how do you know like what to charge them with CPM?
You don't use CPM at first.
You don't use CPM.
And you don't, I do now, but like you don't need to in the beginning. In the beginning, you just want to say, hey, I'm looking for somebody to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm looking for somebody to invest in. I'm getting better at this thing. We have an audience that listens to us. Any audience is a new audience for a lot of these companies, especially in a podcast when they're hearing it in their ears from somebody that they listen to already, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't want to tell you how to do it.
Oh, dude, no, you're good.
But it's also an idea, you know, like it's just something that you can do and kind of get the ball rolling. If you actually want, if you don't want sponsors, that's also a thing too. I thought about not having any sponsors. And then as soon as I had to like buy a first plane ticket to go somewhere, I was like, fuck this. Like I need one.
See,
now.
That's another thing. Like going back to the in-person interview thing too. It's like, if I was making a little bit of money or even just enough to cover like the gas money or whatever, you know,
you
I
feel
could
like
actually,
you need to
go and travel and talk to people. I'd also have to buy like a traveling setup, because right now I just own one microphone, because that's all I need, you know? And I try to keep costs as low as I can, but I don't know. I mean, I would definitely like to get sponsored eventually. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon. And honestly, I kind of set that as like a goal when I first started the show, and not even because I was like, oh, I want like more money, which is great for sure. But I almost like used it as like a metric of, okay, if I ever get a sponsor, that's like kind of like proof that like my show is like at least somewhat legit, you know? And I just kind of used it as like a waymark, I guess, as like a measure of like some sort of success. And that's not to imply that like only like successful podcasts like get sponsored. Like you can have
a show
without any sponsors, obviously,
but I think it's your time. You got to value your time, unless it's just a passion project, which again, totally fine, but you've got an audience and hiking is a niche market. I don't know. You just said hiking gear. I don't fucking know a single hiking gear brand, you know, other than like Merrell shoes, which everybody fucking knows sells like shit at Dick's and REI and all this stuff. I don't know any real core hiking brands. So that should be an easy mark. And I'm an outdoorsy person. Like I am probably like grade A clientele for a lot of these companies, you know, because I'm outside all the time. I'm a ski shop. Like, and I'm out, like, it's just like, that makes sense. So if I don't know, there's people that can use it. That's kind of my point. You know, like, I mean, what's a gear company for hiking? What gear do you need? I don't know these things.
You need a lot of gear.
All right. What do you need? So tell the people, what do you need?
First of all, you need a backpack to put all that shit in.
Okay. What's a backpack brand that does hiking stuff?
Whoops. I mean, there's a shit ton. There's like the, Osprey is like the most popular one. I'm sure you've heard of Osprey before. Yeah,
for sure.
But there's a lot of just like small brands that make these like they're, it's called ultralight. So there's like a whole thing.
Like Ultimate Direction, is that one of them, right?
Or is there's that a trail running one? Of them, so it's possible I just missed it. But a couple, or first of all, my favorite one is a brand called ULA, Ultralight Adventure, I think they're called.
Okay.
They're my favorite because that's the backpack I have. There's another one called Z-Packs, which pretty funny looking packs, but super popular, like super good stuff too. Let's see, Hyperlight Mountain Gear is another big one. They're up in a, I don't remember the exact town. I want to say Biddeford, Maine, somewhere in southern Maine. And again, I mean, these are all brands that I saw a lot of on the AT last year. And then as
what
far
else
as
do you
like,
need for gear?
What's that?
What else do you need for gear then? Dude, like you got bags, what else? Trekking poles?
Okay, so all right. This is a fun route to go down. So there's like your tent and or your hammock. So that's a whole, like there's an entire podcast just on backpacking hammocks. So like there's a lot of directions to go here, but
so keep it simple then. So if I want to go on my first year, I'm going to go do the AT. I want to go do it by my, like for the first time, I'm going to do it with like maybe one other person or something like that. What the fuck do I need to do it?
So are you talking like an entire thru hike or just like a weekend or like a
session? An entire thru hike. I'm doing the whole fucking thing. I'm doing the whole,
First I'd recommend like go do a couple weekend section hikes.
Say I've got like a little bit of experience or like I'm fairly athletic. I think I can do it. I'm doing it with someone that's done it before. How about that?
So the pack is big, obviously.
Okay.
Personally, I think trekking poles are super important. You do have people that hike without them. Like they're not like, if you're just getting into hiking, I wouldn't recommend that would be like the first thing you go out and buy. But if you're going to do any sort of long distance hiking, your knees will fucking thank you. Like you definitely want trekking poles.
Okay.
And then like the shelter. So the tent or the hammock thing, if you're on the West Coast, sorry, but you pretty much have to use a tent.
Yeah.
Not as many trees out there. If you're on the East Coast, on the Appalachian Trail, you can absolutely get away with a hammock. You can also use a tent. I prefer the hammock personally. I'd say from my very unscientific observations, it was probably like 60% tents, 40% hammocks. But those numbers are like starting to even out a little bit more even like just compared to a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So your shelter, that's big. Obviously you're going to need like a sleeping system, which would consist of a sleeping pad and a sleeping bag. And again, like they call it the big four, like the pack, sleeping bag, pad, and tent or hammock. So those are like the biggest things. But then there's obviously like your shoes are huge. I mean, you're going to be on your feet all day, every single day.
Do you have a favorite shoe brand?
Right now I am rocking the La Sportiva Wildcats. And I've used these for like past
La Sportiva like makes dope 5 years. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
And these are huge. I think the brand doesn't matter quite as much as the actual type of footwear. So actually Sam and I were talking about this a little bit earlier. I feel like it's intuitive for people when they're like just getting into hiking to go out and get like these big, like hiking boots, kind of going back to Merrell there. And, excuse me.
Yeah, they're big, they're stiff. They're not, they don't move well. Good. Yeah. They're not good. I mean,
now,
yeah.
I guess the only exceptions in my opinion would be if you have like a really heavy pack or you have like really bad ankles, like really unstable ankles. But for the most part, you're going to want like an actual trail running shoe. So, you know, that's what I use. And that's better for a couple reasons. First of all, they're just lighter. I mean, more weight on your feet is like not a good thing. Like you want to keep like, I mean, all your weight as light as possible, pack everything, but especially on your feet. I've heard, again, I don't know like the origins of this, like whether it's like super legit or not, but I've heard like 1 pound on your feet equals like 6 pounds on your back. And
I've heard that as well.
I've definitely noticed the difference, you know, starting out in hiking boots and going to trail running shoes. The other big thing too is, especially on the East Coast, like your feet are going to get wet on a thru hike. Like I don't care. Like you can have the most waterproof boots in the entire world, but every single boot has a giant hole in it and that's where you put your foot. If it's raining, you're going to get fucking wet. Water's going to get in there eventually. And if you have like these quote waterproof, you know, Gore-Tex shoes, once they get wet, they're going to take a hell of a long time to dry out.
Stay wet, yeah.
And so the trail runners, yeah, they might get wet easier, but they're going to dry out like way, way faster. And in the long run, your feet are definitely going to be better off. Again, obviously there is exceptions, but on the AT these days and pretty much for all long distance through hikes, you're going to find most people like rocking the trail runners. Ultra, I think they're called Ultra, maybe. Maybe not Ultra. I can't remember the name of the brand, I'm trying to think. But even Nike has like trail runners, you know, like there's...
Yeah, they make some... I mean, Nike's not the biggest shoe company in the world for no reason. Like they make
exactly.
good shit for certain things, you know?
Yeah, so, dude.
For sure. That's... Yeah, dude, I wouldn't even think about it like that, you know? But it's true. Like, I mean, you need the right gear. It's like with anything. And I think that's one of the things that people find this show useful for is like gear recommendations and talking about gear and the functionality and the certain flaws of gear, you know, when they're going to do these things. So what kind of things would you recommend to somebody that's starting out on something like this to make their experience better? Things that you went out, did the first time, were like, fuck, I'm never wearing cotton socks again. You know, like things like
honestly,
that.
Honestly, dude, I'm glad you brought that up because like, that is a huge part of just getting into it. Like you can watch all the YouTube videos in the world. You can listen to all the podcasts in the world and get all the recommendations. But like at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff is super personal. So just actually getting out and like doing it is going to be like the best way you're going to learn like what works for you and what doesn't. I'm sure it's the same way with like skis and bikes and all this other stuff.
Yeah, for sure. You got to go do it and then realize you got to learn some shit on your own.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's say someone who's just getting into backpacking, but not necessarily like a full-on thru hike. People definitely do just jump right into a thru hike, and many of them make it. A lot of them don't make it as well. Yeah. But let's just say someone who just wants to like do like a weekend hike, or maybe even like a week-long section, or even a shorter thru hike, something like the Long Trail, maybe, you know, just a couple weeks versus a couple months. The best thing to do would be to just like pick like a weekend, if that, just one night, like that's literally all you need. And honestly, just buy like some cheap stuff on Amazon, get some cheap stuff at Walmart, and just like see if it's something you're actually interested in. Because I've seen it like more than I'd like to admit. People will go out, they'll see like the YouTube videos, they'll see the Instagram posts, and they'll kind of get this like warped idea of what like backpacking actually is. Yeah. And then they'll drop like a shit ton of money on gear. They'll go out and they'll find out they don't actually like it, and they
or that it's hard work.
Yeah, well,
with a lot of this shit, it's fucking hard.
A lot of them don't end up liking it.
It's hard as shit sometimes, you know.
Exactly, so. And that's something you definitely want to avoid. So I would recommend just like get like kind of like cheap gear. Like don't invest too much money into it. Go out, like make those mistakes over a couple weekends or just even just a couple nights or whatever it is, and beat the shit out of yourself. And after that, if you're still down, like if you're still into it, at that point, it's probably more appropriate to, you know, invest some money into some actual gear, which is going to make your life a lot easier. It's kind of tough because you kind of have to start out with shitty stuff, which makes the experience more shitty.
Yeah, but then you actually have value to that. One of the things that I've always said has kind of deterred me from being a better skier at a younger age. Like when I started taking skiing serious when I was like 16. One of the issues that I had was that I had gear so accessible to me. Like, so it was like the nicest gear didn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't get why you needed it until like I took a break from it and then just was like, fuck it, I'll just use shitty stuff. And then I started kind of retraining myself in that. So people got to understand what's good and what's bad. You got to know the difference.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things I think that somebody can't just tell you. You can't just tell somebody why one's better than the other. You got to actually like feel it.
Exactly. And that obviously goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago. This is good, dude. I really don't talk about gear that much on my podcast, which is crazy because
you have a hiking podcast.
Hikers love to fucking talk about gear.
That's, you said that earlier. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? Like, you mean shoes and a t-shirt? Like, is that
entire podcast just on hiking gear? Like entire YouTube channels where all they do is like review like the newest like fucking Spork and like all this shit.
For sure.
And like I've kind of intentionally, kind of unintentionally.
How have you not talked? So like, I will say this, like this is the most excited you've been all podcast and we're talking about gear. So why are you not doing that part of it? Like, why don't you talk about gear?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. So at the end of the day, the gear, like it is important. Absolutely. Like the wrong gear can definitely make or break a thru hike, but it's not the most important thing. And I feel like, especially for my podcast, I feel like that shit is just covered so much in other podcasts that like I don't know. Like I'm just not as passionate about gear as I am about like learning about new trails and stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's a big reason why. And honestly, another big reason why is I haven't really upgraded my gear in like 3 or 4 years. So like my I basically got a bunch of shit like back when I was like still in high school, a freshman in college in that age, for Christmas, and also bought a couple things back then as well. And like I just got like some pretty like rugged shit.
Yeah.
And I haven't really needed to upgrade it. I do now, after especially after putting it through, you know, over 2,000 miles of hiking last year. But I just don't have like the newest, like sexy kind of like gear, you know? So
you know
I just
would
like
help?
I'm just not as excited about it, so I just don't talk about it. That being said, I did do an entire episode with one of my buddies named Baker on like we just did a fully like dedicated gear episode, and I probably will again in the future, but it's not like a regular topic like it is on a lot of like hiking podcasts and
YouTube
channels.
You need to get people to send you shit. You need to get a gear sponsor. That'll help you get more gear. Like you're in it. You're in this hiking industry now. Like you're part of the media, whether it's a small part or a big part. So they're going to help you out. So that's the thing that I think you should do regardless, whether you listen to me about anything else or not. I think that that part of it's really important.
If anybody's listening out there, I'm in the market for a new down jacket.
Yeah, there's plenty of good ones out there. Well, tell people where they can find you on Instagram, on iTunes, the whole deal.
Yeah, man. So yeah, if you just search Trail Tales on whatever app you're listening to this on right now, you should be able to find it. It's the one with the blue cover that says Trail Tales. Instagram at Trail Tales Pod. I love Instagram like way too much. I'm on it. Like my coworkers probably think I'm just slacking off all the time, but like I'm trying to get into photography too. So like I'm not great at it yet, but like I just like to post pictures and edit pictures and stuff. So yeah, at Trail Tales Pod, Facebook as well, if you just search Trail Tales, but Instagram's my big one. I don't know when this is going to come out, but
probably like 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I think my website's going to be done by then, so I'll plug my website, trailtalespod.com. That's the first time I've ever said it out loud. So
I was just on the Podbean site earlier before you
came
over.
Yeah, or trailtales.podbean.com, but yeah, I'm hoping to kind of like phase that one out as I
get we won't forget about
the
that
real
one. Forget about that one. What's the real one again?
Trailtalespod.com.
All right, I'll release this when that one's up. Cool, you can let me know, and then we'll drop this accordingly.
I'm gonna try to finish it up this weekend, actually.
All right, well, you don't got to do all that shit. You just got to do at some point before this is out. Well, thank you for coming on. I appreciate
it,
man.
Thank you for having me. Like I said, like this is the first time I've ever done like an in-person interview, and only the second time I've ever been a guest on another podcast. I'll be honest, it's a little bit scary, like taking the editing part away from me, so I can't like edit out my voice cracks. I think
can't
I had
fuck
a couple
up, man.
And all
can't
stuff,
fuck
but
up.
But no, dude, this was sick. And
this was great.
I got to experience Springfield for the first time too.
You did
so.
A great job. Yeah, yeah, that's a totally different story. All right, thanks, guys. Bye. All right, that was episode number 71. I hope you all enjoyed it. You can check out Kyle and his podcast at Kyle Hates Hiking is his own Instagram page. You can check out the Trail Tales podcast on iTunes, Spotify, the whole shebang. And you can also check it out on Instagram at Trail Tales Pod. And be sure to leave both him and I a review on iTunes while you're there. Yeah, so we can both keep doing this thing. This door keeps opening in the background, and like I can't do it anymore. So this is going to be the end of the outro. I hope everybody's doing well, and we'll talk to you tomorrow or the next day or whenever I actually get this episode out with Mike O'Connell and the First Chair Travel Co.